Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, I am recording this Sunday morning, and yes, it is Mother's Day. I wish so much I could just reach out and give every single one of you a great big hug this morning, but please consider yourself hugged as much as I can give you from this side of the microphone. Today, we are going to talk about something that I know can make a lot of us bristle after the death of our child. It's the verse Romans 8:28, and a lot of times we can get that thrown at us. Remember, God promises to work everything out for good, and I remember thinking, how is that even remotely possible for God to work the death of my child out for something good? And that's what we're going to tackle today. When my husband, Dave, graduated from college with a computer science degree, he wanted to get a job in the area and not relocate. The only job offered to him locally, though, after several months of searching, was with a nonprofit organization in our area, and the pay was miserably low, and it was difficult to make ends meet. However, the employer made up for it in insurance benefits, which was not a big deal to us at the time. I mean, we were both really young. But God knew that within the next few months, we would need those benefits. Now, some of you already know I had Becca coming into the marriage, and Dave adopted her immediately. She had just turned 2 when we got married. And so when Becca turned 3, shortly after we were married, was diagnosed with cancer. And she had her little left leg amputated, and she went through 9 months of chemotherapy. And during that time, her medical bills were easily in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, this was back in the early 80s, but we only had to pay less than $1,000 of the entire medical cost because of the insurance that Dave had. And when we look back, the job God provided that did not seem like it was meeting our needs turned out to be exactly what we needed with incredibly good insurance, which far outweighed our need for better finances. Now, don't, as I was saying that, I could hear some of your minds saying, yeah, okay, so you're trying to say the death of my child is exactly what I needed. No, that's not what I'm saying. So let's keep going here. Each time a terrible event happens in our lives, we can get upset at God, even angry, wanting to know why he allowed it. And I wasn't planning on saying this today, but I meet with a group of parents. Dave and I, we have a local share and care group, GPS Hope Share and Care Group. And we got into that this past week. A mom said, I still want to know why. So we started talking about that. And one of the things that I mentioned to her is, well, for one thing, the why question, even if God were to tell us why, I mean, he is seeing it through the view of eternity. He's seeing it through totally different eyes. We have finite minds. We're living here on earth. We feel the pain of it. And if God told us why, it wouldn't make sense to us. And all we would do is argue with him on why his answer isn't good enough, because we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the spiritual eyesight, we don't have the eternal view of the whole picture. And so why just is going to go over our heads. It's not going to make any sense to us whatsoever. And the other thing that I mentioned that I will share with you here is that when we ask why, you hear me talk a lot about perspective, how I ask God to change my perspective on things because I do want to see things through his eyes, because hopefully that helps me with this and with the grief and the darkness and the pain. And so when we say, why did my child die? I should have gone first. When you look at that a little bit differently, one thing that we're saying is that I should have gone to heaven first. I should be the one to be out of this crappy world first. I should be the one that is enjoying glory and enjoying perfection first. And, you know, we want the best for our children, right? And we feel like the best is here with me right now. And we think about all the things that our child is going to miss, that we're going to miss out on here on this earth, but we forget about the perspective of the negative things that they are not going to experience. They're not going to experience any more betrayal, any more sickness. They're not going to have trauma in their life. They're not going to have to go through our death and grieve our death. Instead, we're grieving their death, their departure. Sometimes we think about, you know, my child didn't get to have children. I don't get to experience being a grandparent with their children. But we don't know what God spared our child from. We have no clue what would have been in our child's future or in our grandchild's future if they had stayed here. And so we don't know what they were spared from. And instead, they get to go to perfection and glory first. And so to say, why, God, why did you take them? And I don't believe God took them. I believe God allowed the things of this world to just take place. Sickness and disease and accidents and you know, man's sinful nature. Those things happen here on this earth. And there are times that God, most of the time, God lets these progressions of things happen. And so when we are, you know, very angry at God and want to know why my child had to go before me, really kind of one of the things we're saying is, why didn't I get to go to heaven first? Why didn't I get to experience all of those incredible, awesome things first? Why didn't I get to leave this world and not have to deal with this world first and leave my child behind here to have to deal with everything I don't have to deal with anymore? So I think you get the picture of what I'm saying here. So that was a little bunny trail. I wasn't planning on saying that, but I really hope and pray that it help someone out there a little bit with the whole why thing. So back to, you know, we can get upset at God wanting to know why he allowed it. But for many of us, as we continue on and we're able to look back, often we can actually see God's hand in it. We may not have been able to see him at work in the middle of the crisis, but now that we're further down the road, we can connect the dots and see how he was there. We may see signs of him being there through what happened. And we can also begin to see how God used that situation to bring direction to us that we might not have even known we needed at the time. In other words, when we're questioning God, why did you let this happen to me? Why did you let this happen to my child? His answer could very well be, I didn't let it happen to you. I let it happen for you and for your child. And you may be thinking at this point, there is no way I can listen to this and have Laura tell me that the death of my child was something God did for me. And that's not what I'm saying. So please hear my heart and please finish hearing me out, because remember, I have been in that place of suffocating darkness myself after the death of our daughter. And I've told God, just kill me now and take me off this earth. I didn't want to be here anymore. I am not going to tell you that God did not stop your child from leaving this earth as something good he did for you. But we need to realize that the death of our child, it didn't blindside God like it did us. He knows what we cannot possibly know. And he can see what we cannot possibly see with our finite eyes and our finite mind here on this earth. I know our lives will never be the same. We will never be the same. We were talking about that this past Thursday night in our group as well. But within that, we can make sure that the death of our child is not wasted. We can allow God's love to wash over us, to heal us, and to take the change in us and use it against the enemy who brought death into this world. God did not bring death into this world. It was the enemy. God is the antidote. He's the answer to death. He made a way so that when our bodies die, we live forever. That's crazy good, really, when you think about it. And I know there's not going to be enough good that comes from the death of our child that will outweigh the desire we still have to have him or her with us or fully remove the pain. That's not going to happen. But we do need to keep our hearts open so that God can show us how he will keep his word, bringing good things into our lives again. And this brings me to thinking about scripture and how it can be misused. The enemy used scripture to try to get Jesus to make a wrong choice. Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, okay, to be tempted, Satan comes to Jesus and tempts him by saying, if you really are who you say you are, does that sound familiar? Have you had those kinds of thoughts? Then prove it by jumping off this building, because God says he will send angels to keep you from getting hurt. Now, that's my personal paraphrase, but Satan was referring to the scripture, Psalm chapter 91. Now, here we see Satan misusing God's own word against him, and I love the answer Jesus gave. He said, the scriptures also say, and he threw one right back at the enemy to counter how God's word was being misused. And we often find ourselves in a conflict like this about what the Word of God says. The Word says he is our healer. The Word says he's our provider and our protector. The Word says our prayers have power. The Word says all it takes is a little bit of faith to make whatever we want happen, right? But when our child dies, none of that seems true anymore, and we struggle with praying or believing God's Word anymore. And so Satan jumps on this. If any of that were true, God would not have let your child die. Satan is the master at playing the if game to put doubts in our minds. He did it to the very first humans God created. He did it to Jesus. Why wouldn't he do it to you and me as well? Just like Jesus refuted scripture with scripture, we need to do the same. Yes, those scriptures of healing and protection are there, but it is also written that we are going to have trials and tribulations. There are no promises that having Jesus in our lives is a golden ticket to a good life. It does not mean he will continually work miracle after miracle after miracle in our lives to wipe away any potential problem we have while we're here on this earth. That's heaven, that's not here. Matthew 5:45 says, for he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. We're familiar with Romans 8:28, which I said at the beginning, God's going to work everything out for good, right? I want to read this in the Passion Translation to you. It says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his divine purpose. Why would God promise to work things out for our good if there's never anything bad? There are good things from God still to come that you cannot see yet. And when I read the scripture that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, it made me think of a poem that I like to read as we travel, as I go out and speak, we have our retreats. And it's a poem called The Weaver. Most people attribute the writing of it to Corrie ten Boom, who was a Holocaust survivor, lost her entire family in the Holocaust. And for many years, she lived in the States, and she spoke about her experiences. She spoke about forgiveness, all kinds of things. She did not actually write the poem. It was written, I have it written down. I kind of studied it out, but she's the one that made it famous. And once again, I'm going to throw something in here I wasn't planning on throwing in. I'm going to put this on pause for just a second, and I'm going to dig out that poem because I want to read it to you right now. Okay, I found it. I'm back, and I believe I said it was called The Weaver. It's called The Weaving, and here it is. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft-times he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the skillful weaver's hand as threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares, Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. And the author of the poem is Florence May Ault. And I know that last line, when I first started sharing this poem, it wasn't until like maybe 2 or 3 years ago that I actually read those last two lines, because they were even hard for me, that He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. How can it possibly be the very best to allow our child to die? I still don't get it. I'm going to be really honest with you. I still don't get it. But that's the full poem, and I feel like I need to honor that. I want to encourage you, make a decision, be determined not to let the enemy suck you down even further, because you can't, like I just read in the poem, we see the underside, he sees the upper side of the beautiful tapestry that he is making of our lives. We just see the messy underside that makes no sense to us. So don't let the enemy suck you down even further by making room in your mind for the "if God really" doubts that the enemy puts there. If God really does, if God really is, don't do it. There are counter scriptures that will strengthen and help you and be what you need as an anchor and speak truth into your life and counter those things that the enemy's trying to throw at you in your mind. Don't accept it. Don't grab hold of those. If you need to find some of the scriptures to counter what the enemy's trying to tell you, do a search on words like rock, tower, strength, refuge. Copy out some of these verses that will help you refute the doubts that the enemy tries to tempt you with. Just one of them is Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The upright man runs to it and finds refuge. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be like the crowd we read about in John chapter 6, who just came to Jesus for what they could get from him. They wanted to see another miracle after getting fed a free lunch. And then they walked away because there was something about Jesus that seemed too hard to understand. They wanted what he had if it was, you know, do this for me, do this for me. But then when he said something that was like, I don't know if I get that, that doesn't make sense to me, they walked away. And I want my heart to be like Peter's. When Jesus asked the disciples, are you going to leave me too? Peter's response was, where else could I possibly go? You have the words of eternal life. You have what I need. And I heard something this morning I had not thought about before. When Jesus asked this question, he was a man. He had to fight fears like we do, fears of betrayal. He had to fight fears of abandonment. Okay, he had those same thoughts that we do as a human being, and it could have been an actual legitimate question. Are you going to leave me too? And I had never thought about that before. I don't know, it's just one of those scriptures that I just hear and I gloss over it, and I kind of feel like it's more like he already knew they weren't going to leave him, but maybe he didn't. I mean, he only knew what the Holy Spirit showed him. So that was just a new thought for me this morning. I have found that my attempts at being in control of my own life or those around me to fix things doesn't work. My attempts to control God to fix things the way I want Him to, so I don't have to deal with pain and suffering, don't work either. I only see two other options here. I can either blame God for something I do not understand and walk away, like many do, like the people did even when Jesus was here. Or I can decide that He is the only one who can find a way to somehow redeem this mess into something that can make life livable again. I recently heard Joyce Meyer talking about the weapons of our warfare, things that we can do that will affect the spiritual realm. You know, we already kind of tackled that a little bit about I did all those things and God didn't come through for me. But those were external things. I want to look at internal things. Our weapons are mighty for the pulling down and the destruction of strongholds. strongholds in our minds and in our souls. A stronghold is an area where the enemy gains ground and he digs in and he builds them in our minds. He lies and lies and lies to us until we believe his lies as the truth. And even if it is a lie, if we believe it's the truth, it becomes the truth for us. What we believe is extremely important. What do you believe about your future? Do you believe you have no future because your child isn't here? Are you believing the truth as true, God? Or are you believing the lies as truth, the enemy? Your emotions may be telling you that you can't trust God and that he is not good. However, decisions that are made based on our emotions are quite often wrong. I encourage you to make the difficult choice that goes beyond your emotions, that goes beyond your pain, to trust him, not based on whether or not you get what you want, but based on the fact that if you cannot see his goodness in your situation yet, it means he is not done working on your behalf in this place of darkness that you find yourself in. I hope that you will join me in believing in what he promises, that even if it doesn't happen here on this earth, we will see the fullness of his goodness when we see the upper side of the tapestry, right? When we are with him and we are with our children once again. I want to let you know that the June edition of Reflections of Hope is now available. This special June edition and the May edition that's already out offers a month's worth of daily readings for bereaved parents, giving a beacon of hope in the suffocating darkness of sorrow. And within these pages, I have done my best to give you a daily lifeline in navigating your deep grief, providing some comfort, understanding, and hopefully some gentle guidance. Whether you are freshly grieving or you have years of tears behind you, these monthly editions of Reflections of Hope offer a safe harbor for bereaved parents, especially for those whose faith has been shattered. If June is a rough month for you or a fellow bereaver you know, be sure to pick up a copy and let others know about these monthly Reflections of Hope that are coming out. And both May and June are available as a free download as a Kindle Unlimited member. So we're halfway through May. You can grab May and finish it out and go right on into June if you have Kindle Unlimited. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Isaac Wills was born on May 10th and is forever 17. Leah Van Emmerich was born May 13th. On Mother's Day and is forever 39. Jordan Slusher was born on May 17th and he is forever 21. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of these families. It will always be a special day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced in this segment, I would love to be able to do that for you. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out the form. It's just the main information we need, including the pronunciation of your child's first or last name. If it's sometimes mispronounced, I would like to be able to say it correctly for you. Just submit that information, and the week of your child's birthday, I will share your child with the other listeners. I recently heard an illustration on this whole topic that might help you. So I'm going to wrap it up and close with this. When we make a cake, the ingredients by themselves don't taste very good, do they? No one wants to eat a mouthful of flour or eat a raw egg. Have you ever had a spoonful of vanilla? Right? It is so bitter, unbelievable. But when you put all the ingredients together, you now have something good. Many of you are still waiting for more ingredients to see how anything good can possibly come from the death of your child. And if you can't see any good yet, I already said that means God isn't done yet. ask Him to help you to be able to see when these ingredients start being added to your life. You don't want to miss them so that you can once again taste and see that He is good. Just like Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." And while you're waiting, remember to H-O-P-E, hold on, pain eases, there is hope.